Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 25th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 67, the first paragraph, We Avoid Retaliation or Argument. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry S., 12 Traditions. We're going to have Julie E. B. Reader of the text, Sherry K. B. Roz G. will be reading page 164, and our backup is Julie E. B. The reference number for Thursday, June 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,218. That's 17218. And for this morning, Friday, June 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17,226. That's 17226. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Terry S., recovering food addict in Oregon. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry S. And I'll now ask Julie E.B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 67, the first paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Sherry KB to begin reading. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service and Team Friday. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So, wow, there's so much to this. First, I just want to point out the promise here. God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. I'm back in the step work again. I've gone through the Big Book and done the step work, but I'm back in it again due to trying to continue to enlarge my spiritual life. And right now I'm in step 4, and this is really jumping out at me because, you know, I always thought I was an easygoing person. Oops, I didn't put myself on a timer, Dawn. Please time me. I really thought I'm an easygoing person. I'm a kind person. I'm a caring person. But, boy, if you ever got in my head, I used to joke about this and say, you know, if anybody arrested me for my thoughts, I'd be on death row in San Quentin. And, you know, that's the truth. I really have to start checking what's going on in my head and in my thoughts. And I know that love, patience, and tolerance is my code, and justification and fairness is not my code. There's something that happens to me, just like when I used to get in the food. I can get into this disease, my emotional sickness, just like I used to get into the food. And I have to really put down those emotions that get in my way, like retaliation or wanting to be right. Would I rather be right or would I rather be happy? Where's God in all this? And I notice that, you know, I might have an argument or a whole retaliation going on in my head, and I've never said a word, but there's so much going on in my head. And that does lead, you know, eventually it leads to one road. And I don't want to be face down in the food anymore. So I have to, I don't have the willpower to control how I eat. I turn it over to God. I've got to do the same thing with my emotions. And I just keep thinking about justification and fairness is not my code because I can hear in my head, it's not fair. well, that's not the reason why I did this, is because you did that. And I, you know what, I can't afford it. And when I think I can, like, you know, I want to justify my resentment, my anger, or whatever, I'm in trouble. I am really in trouble when I start justifying that I have a right to do this. And this just keeps going, layers and layers keep getting peeled. Every time I go back into the step work and I look at these paragraphs, they're amazing to me. And you know what, I probably need to read this paragraph every day to get reminded, because I can slide right back into that place as quickly as I would have in the food, and I don't want to do either one. And I just need to ask God to comfort me in my discomfort and show me what I need to do and how to show love, patience, and tolerance, and to be helpful to somebody else. And I can't be helpful if I'm in my head taking your inventory. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB, for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Julie E.B.
Christina J.
Julie E.B. Christina J. Okay, I have Julie E.B. and Christina J. Julie E.B., why don't you go ahead and get us started, please?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm so happy to be on the line this morning, and so happy that these words really settle with me. You know, when I first encountered them, facing the fourth step a few years ago I didn't really understand it. And once I worked through these different columns we've been talking about, once I got through that prayer for each person, showing tolerance, pity, patience, kindness, then I began to understand how much of my thinking revolved around retaliation. And certainly, as our speaker today so generously shared, yeah, a lot of this is in my head. But it took hours and hours of my time. When I tell people, when they say, how do I have the time to work this program? And I share that I can listen to both meetings and do 10th and 11th and sponsor. How do I have all that extra time, this time I used to spend in my head in retaliation and argument? And the word that didn't make the most sense to me was retaliation. But there's a couple of places the big book talks about that problems happen to us seemingly, you know, out of nowhere. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. And until I really got into that fourth step without any food, with the food ingredients, behaviors, and foods, all those things down, I really didn't see the way that I was stepping on those toes and that they were retaliating. I would say, oh my gosh, the thing that happened yesterday with my husband, he talked to my daughter about this thing I thought was between us. Thing is, I stepped on his toes at 4 a.m. yesterday, and his retaliation was venting some of it to our adult daughter. And there I am seemingly hurt. But really, I set these things in motion, which is another phrase from the big book that makes so much more sense if I concentrate on this fourth step and what is my part. And surprisingly, my part is the part I can change. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And now we'll have Christina J. share with us, please.
Good morning. Christina J. from the state of Washington. You know, God bless us all. Every one of us is in this world. I look at this world as a workshop that we all come to work out our stuff and to get closer to God eventually, because we all got to go home someday. And in the meantime, we're dancing our head with all this stuff, or at least I am. And like someone shared earlier, the onion gets slowly peeled. You know, when I first was deep in my food addiction and trying to get my career going in the music business, I would get insanely sick and jealous of people that were going faster than me, getting ahead seemingly. And I would retaliate with them. I would find someone to character assassinate them, talk about how I didn't understand because they didn't have much talent or whatever the hell I might be saying. And I couldn't be helpful to them. I wasn't helpful to myself. I was in misery. And, you know, these things, at least for me, they came from old trauma that's sort of embedded in my cells from when I was a kid. It set the wheels in motion to what I was going to do with my life, to forge ahead, to get mine. And I don't have to live there anymore, but it's still in my cells, so I still get sucker punched in the gut ever so often. Yesterday I got sucker punched in the gut with one of these things again. Now, I didn't want to retaliate against the person because I've passed that part, but it's still in my cells. I still have this reaction of not getting mine and what did I do wrong. How was I helpful? What did I learn the first round? I learned that I see God in everyone, and I see God in this one particular singer way back when that really seemed to be jumping ahead of me, and I had such resentment against her. And what I did was I saw God singing through her. How dare I put her down for the gift that God has given her, no matter what kind of person she was. She's a beautiful soul just doing her path in life. She's on her, she's doing the workshop, you know, because I look at each career is almost like a classroom. Each family is almost like a classroom. We get all these lessons within each circle of people we're around or people that come across our paths. You spot it, you got it, that's a wonderful phrase. You know, we just learn from everybody. So I learned to love her through seeing God in her, loving the God in her. And so I don't want to retaliate anymore, but I am still working on this reaction. So how can I take a kindly and tolerant view of myself? In two-way prayer this morning, I found out that this is just in my cells. It's not really part of me anymore, and I just have to surrender it. When it comes up, start chanting God's name or singing to God or putting on some spiritual music or making a call, because it's not truly real anymore. It was real back then, but it's not now. And so that's what I get to do, and it's not easy. Because it comes around, like yesterday it came back around and really knocked me for a loop, took me away from God. It blocks out the sunlight of the Spirit, all these things. So today, no retaliation. Today, asking God in for the courage when there is an argument to then have a talk and talk it out rather than just seething and having it steal my life away. That's what I got today, and I thank you for letting me share. I love everybody, and I'm so glad we're recovering together. God bless.
Thank you so much, Christina J. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We are on page 67, the first paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share with us today?
Larry G.
Larry
Robin
G.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Stacy K.
Stacy K. Okay, let's go with that. We have Larry G., Robin P., Kathleen O., and Stacy K. Good morning, Larry, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning, Larry G. Right now, I'm in Key West. I've been wanting to say that for a while because I haven't traveled in over a year and a half, but from California. If my sponsor is on this call, I just want to acknowledge my sponsor. Rather than sharing every 3 days, or I share every 3 weeks. And you know what? I love it. I've put the cotton in my out of my ears and my mouth and listening to you wonderful people, amazing sharers, so much passion for recovery. You know, the way I see this paragraph is that I entered this program in May 2020, and I was literally, I had like a blowtop torch up my ass. I mean, this was the last house in the street. I was thinking of going to some other food programs. I knew it was geographic. I lost all credibility myself. I couldn't stay abstinent if my life depended on it. If you said, Larry, here's a lottery ticket for $1 million. If you stay abstinent, you can have it. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I was in the pit of morass and despair. And so today, I feel I have a debt that will never repay. I have a duty to my fellow man, including people in the program, outside of program, to be compassionate, kind, and tolerant. Because I was spiritually and spiritually and physically and emotionally bankrupt. I was a sick man. And I tell you, when I came to this program and really understood that for the first time, that the answer was just refrain from alcohol foods. I understood I had a sick mind. My sponsor told me, well, now you can have compassion for other people. Because I didn't have compassion for people. I was OA meetings judging people, taking their inventory. And today, I've stopped that. And it's day-to-day for me. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And this is a lifelong character defect of judgment, entitlement, self-righteousness. Man, that's ugly shit, right? That's ugly shit. And today, I get to show up because I'm recovered. I owe a debt that never will be repaid. And I get to show up and be kind, loving, and compassionate no matter what. Some days, I have to even fake it. And if I can't fake it, I write a 10-step in somewhere. The magic of writing a 10-step and giving away, I see how ridiculous I am, how selfish, how afraid, how dishonest I am, and I can make a course correction, do a 7-step, make some outreach calls, and get right back in the game. Thank you, Elaine. You're a wonderful host on this meeting, and I wish everybody a great abstinent day today. I'm out.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. And now we'll have Robin P. share with us, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Don, for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. I love that this paragraph. It's so important for me. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. Oh, my goodness. You know, how much time I spent in my head and how much time I spent in the food. You know, that's why I know I have time for service. And to be a blessing to people, because I spent so much time in my head and in the food. I have plenty of time to be of service. And, you know, it comes down to how can I be helpful to God and my fellows? And I can't be, if I'm sitting there, I've had so many arguments with people in my head that never came out of my mouth, but wow, I would just go off with that mental obsession, and it's painful. And it robs me of my peace and my joy, and I get to live in joy today and peace. And my peace is as powerful as I'm working my recovery, you know, and how good can I stand it? And we had a massage guy that came to where I worked. I did Broadway for a long time, and and then we would sometimes go to his apartment in New York City, and every week we got a massage. And on his refrigerator, he was a blind massage guy. And on his refrigerator, in Braille and in English, it said, "How good can I stand it?" And I feel like every time I catch myself, that's just mental obsession. Oh, that's just selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Oh, that's self-righteous anger. I can't afford that. Oh, right. Every time I catch it and nip it in the bud, how good can I stand it? My life gets better and better, and I have more joy and more gratitude and more peace, and I'm so grateful today. We moved to Costa Rica a week ago, and I'm so grateful, and I just see how there's like this thing, like this fear around the corner thing, instead of just live in this moment in joy and gratitude. And I'm so grateful, and I'm so grateful to be recovered today and having a solution. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from beautiful Costa Rica. Now, Kathleen O., will you share with us, followed by Stacy K., and then I'll be opening up the lines. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for moderating this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive reader in Northern California. This sentence, "But at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one." This is such a powerful sentence to me because, you know, this step work is helping us to have access to a power. And resentments are going to block me from that power. But that power, if I can connect with that power and have a relationship with that power, that's going to bring me freedom, you know, freedom from the food, freedom from fighting anyone or anything. We learn to be governed by the principles and not our emotions. And the principles of tolerance. The spiritual truth is when people harm others, they're really harming themselves. And when I harmed others, I was harming myself. You know, we're spiritually sick. But when someone harms me, you know, I'm able to pity them and put what they did aside and accept their humanity, and I accept my own humanity. You know, it doesn't make what someone did okay, but I can detach. And you know, step four, it enables us to begin to know and understand ourselves. And when I can come from patience, love, kindness, and tolerance, my life is amazing, even when it's difficult. and it's the weirdest thing, but it's true. And avoiding retaliation or argument. When I would make amends, there was two real difficult ones I had, and I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view. And God will help us make these amends. There was a woman at a party that I needed to make an amends to, and I just couldn't bring myself to call her and talk to her. But there was this fire out on the horizon, and the whole dang room cleared out except me and her. And, you know, to me, that was God. It's like, here's your opportunity, Kathleen. It was not an amends that was going to take a long time, but it was a really important one. And she was so kind and gracious. And so miracles happen when we do this work. And truly, and I have to just say one more thing, because I wrote this in my book years ago. And I won't say who said it, but she used the analogy of monkeys at a zoo. You know, their behavior has nothing to do with us, but if they throw a banana, duck. So I love that. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Now, Stacy K., will you share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines. We are on page 67, the first paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument. I'm talking about that one paragraph. So good morning, Stacy K.
Good morning, Stacy K. in Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater and just grateful to be here today and grateful to be, you know, sober and abstinent. And I was thinking about what we learned so far in this chapter, specifically in the back in the third step, right? We learned about being the actor and, you know, that we can be even more kind and considerate, patient, all these wonderful things, right, that we thought we were, but it was really based in self and because we wanted to get what we wanted to get, you know, and it was just another way for us. And this is different, this kindness, this tolerance, this love that we feel. You know, it's pretty cool that in the fourth step, as we've looked at our character defects, that Bill, you know, brings this up here. And, you know, he's going to talk about it again in later on in 9 with that beautiful prayer, that 9-step prayer, "My Creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love." You know, I need God's help. On my own power, I'm going to revert to that ego, to that self-centered person who wants her way. And I'm setting up the play, you know, the screen. I need that power so that, the light, you know, so that I can be the light, right? I can be love. I can be spirit. You know, I can do that when I'm unblocked. But if I'm blocked off with selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, then, you know, that's that's my going to be my default. You know, I'm, you know, maybe I'll act kind, maybe I'll act nice, but underneath it is this resentment or this fear. And so I just love how Bill writes the, you know, that he like gives us little hints of things to come, you know, and it all comes together later, you know, as with the 9-step promises, 10, 11, you know, but first we have to take this action to get there. So, you know, yeah, we're being told here, but then later, like on 97, it says we got to be this way all the time. You know, we need to be, you know, this kindly act once in a while isn't good enough. Every day is a day, you know, and we need to act this way all the time, and we get to just practice. You know, I'm certainly not perfect at it, and you know, that's, you know, my favorite action word in this program is practice. And you know, the more I practice, the better things get. Always. I mean, that prayer, that nice time. Prayer, thank you, saved my marriage. You know, I fell back in love with my husband with that prayer. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stacy K. from Colorado. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on that first paragraph there on page 67? We avoid retaliation or argument. So just go ahead and press star one.
Sandy A.
Sandy A.
Polly Q. Diane B.
Polly Q. Diane B.
Patty F.
Patty F.
Ramona A.
Ramona A. Okay. And let's go with that lineup.
Sandy T.
And Sandy T. I'll put you down in case.
No, Candy.
Oh, like, Candy.
Yes, we don't need Candy T.
Okay, very good. We'll put you on the end there, and hopefully we'll have time. Sandy A, Polly O, Diane B, Patty F, Ramona A, and Candy T. Go ahead, Sandy.
This is Sandy A. from Ohio, compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for everyone's service, folks who shared and folks who are listening. I love a good argument. There, I said it. I have always liked to argue. I always felt like it was an exercise in my mind. It was an exercise in thinking. But it's been really, really hard for me to give that up. And I'm still struggling with that. It is from childhood trauma, you know, my family background, and it's something that I struggle with. I want to learn, and still learning, how to have my voice be heard without it being in an argument situation. And this program is teaching me that with the help of my sponsor and God's help. And I am thankful for the program for that. There are other things that I'm thankful for the program for that, but especially that, because I need to give that up. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share again.
Thank you so much, Sandy A. from Ohio. Now, Polly O., will you share with us, followed by Diane B.? Good morning, Polly.
Good morning. It's Polly Q., just to let you know.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I'm recovered in Northern California, and thank you for your service, moderator. my higher power is in my meditation, it has become clear to me that my higher power is working with me on being considerate. And I used to think of being considerate as more of being polite But that's not what it is. That's not what my higher power is working on. And I really appreciate it because we avoid retaliation and argument. So I can start, what happens is I start obsessing in my mind about something. At first, it starts out okay. I'm just kind of like looking at something from a standpoint of maybe my job, my side, something that's still on my side of the street. But what starts happening for me is I start to obsess more on it. And then pretty soon I'm thinking about what other people ought to do and what they did and what they said to me. And why did they say that to me? And, you know, I think they should do this. I mean, it's amazing how quickly my ego will just take any little morsel I feed it and say, let's go, Polly. Let's build an illusion. And as soon as I build that story in my head, the dangerous thing is I start acting on it. So I build an illusion in my head, and then I think to myself, I got to retaliate. I'm going to have to argue. I start arguing in my own head. And I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to do something about that. And then I destroy my chance of being helpful. I mean, what I mean is I can obsess on somebody else's issues. They don't even have anything to do with me. I built a whole illusion around it. It's selfishness and self-centeredness built on mental obsession. And that, my brain is an expert at that. My ego comes in and it builds a whole self-centeredness around it. And pretty soon, I lose all consideration. There is no proportion. Everything now is blown out of proportion. So the next time I speak to that person, I'm going to be inconsiderate. You know, I'm starting to see how this whole mental gyration that drives the engine of my disease gets going. And then I've built up a resentment, and now I am going to retaliate. And I'm going to do it under the guise of being helpful. That's what argument is. Oh, I'm going to help them. I'm going to show them the way. I'm going to build a script, and then they're going to have a script. And those scripts are run by an ego. And so there's no way to go but off the cliff. So I'm just like really so appreciative of this program and these people and this book because it lets me know, hey, girl, you built a fear fantasy. You better get out of it. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Polly Q from California. Diane B., will you share with us now, followed by Patty F.? Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thanks for your service, Don. And I'm Diane B. from California. And I'm just so grateful for this book and the detail that Bill goes to explain where resentments take us. Because I once heard that resentments are just a rehearsal for retaliation. And this has been this part of my life of argument and retaliation has been a big part of my life. And so the word pause that is used in the big book has been powerful for me. But also I had a sponsor one time in a different program that told me that I just needed to shut my mouth and be quiet and listen to someone else. And that has helped me a lot, has helped me with my marriage. And so now when I hear something I don't like, I go silent, not because I'm trying to do the silent treatment, but I just have to keep my mouth shut. And that helps keep me out of the retaliation and argument. But still, I still need to work the program. I still need to go through what my part is in a situation that I'm uncomfortable with or I don't like. And but I still need to have a voice. But my voice needs to be a tolerant and patient voice instead of an argumentative voice. And that's what this program is teaching me to turn to God and on a daily basis, please have him help me say the right words when it comes my time to express what I think in a kind manner. And I'm just grateful for all of you. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Diane B. from California. Now, Patty F., will you share with us, followed by Ramona A.? Good morning, Patty, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts. Today's my birthday, and, I'm looking at Facebook and counting how many likes I get, and I'm just focusing on the people who haven't wished me happy birthday, and I have a situation where I'm angry with someone, and, it's hard because I feel like she's really in the wrong, but she obviously doesn't feel that way, and I have to see her sick just like me, and I know I've done what she did to me to other people, and I have my faults, and I need to forgive and maybe move on, or maybe, try and see if it can be saved, our friendship, and I know I have self-righteous anger, and, it's only hurting me, but I don't know. It's just give it to God, I guess. So thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F. And now Ramona A., will you share with us, followed by Candy T. Good morning, Ramona.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Ramona A. in Vermont, and grateful recovered compulsive eater, and thank you, everyone, for being there. Such an interesting topic. I really didn't want to get on this morning for some reason, but I know I have to just put it out there. I was born with a gift of a very analytic mind, very logical mind, which did me very well in my career, had a good career, as an analyst, but it didn't do me well in relationships, and it hasn't, and I've been working with God on this. And I know before we were even married, my husband said to me, I love you, but you always have to be right. And my retort was, no, I don't. having to be right even on that. And I tried to, in relationships, to either retaliate or just to hold my own by being logical, by putting the next person down with logic. And of course, that wasn't much appreciated. People didn't like that. And it wasn't a good way to handle relationships either. I mean, how would you feel if somebody was always just trying to put you down, and I know that I wouldn't like it at all. So in recovery and going through this and understanding that I have this trait to handle, something that's uncomfortable for me, I know that I have to work the steps, and I've been working so hard to just say nothing, and I know someone else just said that, but to listen. I read something once that said, seek first to understand, then to be understood, and I need to listen and understand exactly what that person is saying, where they're coming from, how they are as a person, and not to expect them to see things the way I see things and do things the way I do things, or to think, logically, if they are a very strong people person or something, and not into the other realm. So it's so important for me. The program has been so good for me to learn to just be quiet and to listen, and then maybe if I have something to really offer to the conversation, then I can say it in a calm and respectful manner. And this is, it's turning out to be so good for me too. I wondered what would happen when I couldn't defend myself logically, but it's been very, very good. I enjoy people much more. I enjoy conversations
time
much more, and I'm learning much more. So with that, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Ramona A. from Vermont. And now, Candy T., will you share with us, please? Let us know where you're calling from. star one, Candy.
Hi. Yes, my name is Candy P, and I'm calling from Nyack, New York, and I've been listening to these meetings for almost a year now, and this is the first time that I'm sharing. But this paragraph resonated so strongly with me that it just called out that it's now or never. And because of this paragraph and what it means and how I've been working to adjust my life this way, do not retaliate and don't be the director and don't expect certain things from anybody. My life is so much more peaceful and so much more content. I recently had a birthday, and I got a myriad of wishes, but my own daughters don't behave in the way that when they were babies, I thought they'd grow up and be. And yet somehow this year, I was able to accept how they are and what their lives are like, and it doesn't mean that they love me any less or that I need to be hurt or I need to be angry. So I'm so grateful to this program and to all of you who are on the line every day, because you may not be hearing from a lot of people such as myself, but you are doing us so much good, and I just feel very blessed to be a part of you. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Candy P. from New York. And I do have about a minute and a half share if someone would like to take it and hasn't shared in the last 3 days.
Irene B.?
Irene B., go ahead, please.
Okay. Can I do it, Stacey A.? So I will start saying that I'm a recovered bulimic, thanks be to God. And I just want to say that if I did these steps, I would be so much better off. First, I need to feel, acknowledge, and respect my feelings. Then I need to bring God in. How do I do that? I pause. Then I question, is this real or imagined? If it's real, then I try to remember that hurt people. And I try to think about the fact that they're sick like me. I try to have compassion. How do I do that? My dad, my father, he said to try to walk in the other person's shoes for half a minute, to try to put yourself in their shoes and where they're coming from, that helps. And then when there's a resentment for something you absolutely cannot let go of, my sponsor said, go to page 552. That's page 552. You pray for the other person, wishing everything that you wish for yourself, you wish it for them. You do it 21 days in a row. And if I follow the solution, this recipe, then I would stop the vicious cycle of retaliation. Hurt, retaliate. You hurt, you retaliate. You hurt the other person, they retaliate, and so on and so forth. So compassion is the answer. And if I can give that compassion to myself, oh my gosh, that would be so lovely. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Irene B. And apologies to Stacey K. there. We ran out of time, but please come back tomorrow. Or actually come back Monday. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to everyone who shared and made this meeting especially wonderful. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Roz G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Roz G., recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you, keep you, until then.